Morning, we're continuing our series entitled Masterpiece, discovering God's identity and design for believers in community, for us together. God designed, and Paul writes about it specifically in the book of Ephesians, this design that God has for us to live together with one another and how to do that. If you have your Bibles this morning, or your devices, your iPads, or iPods, or your phones, pull them out and open your Bible to Ephesians, however you choose to do that, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 23. Call this Beyond Knowing, Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. And this is a prayer of Paul's, and you think, well, what can we learn from a prayer? But Paul, again, uses one sentence and has a whole prayer for the Ephesian people and packs a lot into it. There was something that happened on Monday. Does anybody know what happened on Monday? Eclipse. There was an eclipse. Did you go out and look at the sun? Hopefully not. If you did, hopefully you had the special glasses or use the cereal box with the cutouts or whatever it was that you did. I actually was here at the church, and so I poked a little hole in something and went outside and tried to do it. And it kind of worked. You could kind of see the shapes and stuff. Not going to lie, I did kind of glance up once or twice just to look, because how can you resist? And then you basically, you know, see a spot after that. But did you catch it? Did you see it? I started watching a little bit in the morning because they were having things go on as it hit the West Coast and started coming across. And NASA was had live coverage. And they had people throughout the path of totality. If I'd gotten up last week and talked about the path of totality, you might not know what I was talking about. But everybody was talking about the path of totality. And all of America was traveling to this little strip across the country so that they could see the full eclipse, so they could take it all in. And they had NASA people that had trained and had been working towards this for months and months and months. And there was one gentleman, I was watching it online, and he was talking about it, and they were hyping it up and talking about it before it happened. And finally it happened. They'd been seeing it come across, and finally the totality happened, and you get about 3 minutes. They're going to have about 3 minutes of complete darkness, for lack of better terms. And it happened. And he said, we planned and planned for this for months. And now it's here. And it was better than I expected. The experience of it, he said, I have goosebumps. Probably because the temperature drops too. But he said, I have goosebumps because now it's here, now it's happening. Sometimes we can read about something in a book, and until you experience it, until you're there, until it happens, it's a completely different thing between knowing about something and experiencing it. When it comes to the Bible, sometimes we live with purely knowing things about God and not experiencing God. We've studied God's word. We've read what's in the Bible, and we can pass the test. I always love it when I watch Jeopardy some nights, and I always love it when they come up with the Bible. I'm like, oh, I could probably get all of these. Even the $2,000 question, I might be able to get this one. The rest of them I have no clue most of the time. But the Bible, I've studied it. I can pass the test. We could give the right answers. But Paul, in our text today, prays for the Ephesians that they would do more than just knowing God. They would do more than just know the answers to the test. He prays that they'd actually step out and experience God in their relationship with him. Let's read our passage this morning, Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 15. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. For this reason, for what reason? Well, everything we talked about last week, all the blessings we have in Christ. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The first thing that Paul does is he says, I'm thankful for the faith and love of the believers. I'm thankful for the faith and love of the believers. At some point, Paul had received a report. He had spent time with the Ephesians in Ephesus for quite a large period of time. It's about 3.5 years. But at some point, Paul is in house arrest, basically jail, at this point as he's penning this letter to the Ephesians, and somebody has brought a report to him. And he said, you know what, the Ephesians, they have good faith in God. You know what, they have love for other believers. And so what does Paul say kind of in this introductory part of his book? He says, I'm thankful that I heard that you're continuing on in the faith. You're continuing on in the things that I taught you. You're continuing on in believing about Jesus Christ, that you haven't fallen off. And he's saying, I'm grateful, I'm thankful that you love other believers, that you care about each other, that you show love to one another. Paul says, thank you. Stacy and I were just commenting as Steve was reading the bulletin, Harvest Sunday. Last year, Harvest Sunday was our first time in this church. That was when I first spoke and first met a lot of you. I've learned a lot about you in almost a year. Thank you. There's a lot of things that you guys do in this church. Teaching Sunday school classes. Working with our children. Teaching Kids Corner every Sunday. Teaching adult Sunday school classes. Being on committees and boards, committees that help things like Kids Sunday to be a part of our community. Paul's talking about the community of believers, and it's your love for one another that is part of that community, about what needs to happen. It's people that come into the church and clean the church every week. Did you catch that in your bulletin? It's people that serve and clean. They vacuum and wash windows. There's those who lead worship every Sunday. There's those who do technology every Sunday. There's those maybe we don't see throughout the week, but they come in and they mow the lawn. We had a sign up at the beginning of the summer for people to come in and mow the lawns. There's people in the back holding, at least I know my baby, and feeding and caring for her. You guys do an auction every couple years. I've heard about the donations you guys do towards the auction, the time you give for things. But that's not it. It's not just the service things. You care too. We were talking in our Sunday school class this morning about ways that we show and care for one another. We listen as people come in with excitement, with praises, things that are good going on in their lives, and we rejoice with them. We listen when people come in with struggles, and we pray with them, and we struggle through it with them, because that's what the body of believers is. That's what we do together. We rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep, the Bible says. But thank you. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your years of service here. Willard last week talked about his 95th year. Years of service. Thank you. Your love for one another. Thank you. And that's what Paul is saying here to these believers in Ephesians. He says, thank you for all that you're doing for each other. Thank you for continuing on in the faith. As you see people around the church doing things, thank them. Thank them for the things you see them doing. Kids up front here, thank them today for being willing to come up here. I remember being little. I'm an introvert by nature, which means I don't necessarily get energy from being around lots of people, and being on stage is kind of a frightening thing. As a little kid, I was still a little introvert, and I didn't like being on stage, but I would have things like that I would be on stage in front of people, and so I did them. Thank them. That means something to them, that you say, I noticed you on stage. You did a good job today. Thank you for that. Thank people as you see them do things around the church, as you see them caring for one another and serving each other. First, Paul says he's thankful for their faith and love. Faith and love are a great foundation for our walk with Christ, but they're not to be the end of it. Paul emphasizes there can be more to their walk. He prays for their next step in their faith, the way that they can go beyond just knowing about God. They're doing some of it through service, but the way they can do it more, he prays that they would experience God deeper. He prays for the believers' need to experience God deeper. Believers need to experience God deeper. Paul prays in verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. That you would have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. He's saying, how do you go deeper? You need more wisdom. Remember when we were studying the book of James? James says, if you need wisdom, to pray for wisdom, and God will give it to you. He won't hold it back. The spirit of wisdom and revelation. Wisdom is the ability to know good from evil and act on that knowledge. Wisdom is the ability to know good from evil and then to act on that knowledge, to make the wise decision, to make the choice that I'm going to follow God, I'm not going to follow my sinful nature, I'm not going to follow the world and what they tell me to do, but I'm going to follow God, I'm going to make the wise decision. He prays for a spirit of wisdom and of revelation. Revelation is receiving insight into God's word. We read a lot of words this morning in Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. And if we were just reading through, we could just gloss over it and say, well, that's a lot of good stuff in there. That's nice. But receiving insight into what God's word means, when you read through scripture, it shouldn't just be, oh, that was nice. God's word is not meant to be read like a book. God's word has implications for our lives. God's word is like the instruction manual. We read it and it tells us how we're supposed to live. We read it and it tells us how we're supposed to act. We read it and it tells us that we're supposed to love one another. We read it and it tells us we need to love God. It gives us instructions for our lives. it's meant to work in us and through us. Revelation is receiving insight into how God's word applies to your life. So you don't just read it. You don't just read and go, oh, those are nice things, okay. But how can I use this? How is what God's word saying here going to be applicable to when I go to school tomorrow? Or when I go to work tomorrow? Maybe work and school are the same thing for you. So when you go to work and school tomorrow, what does that look like? Receiving wisdom and revelation. Paul also prays that their hearts would be enlightened. He says, you know it here, but I want the light bulb to come on down here. I want it to not just be head knowledge, but heart knowledge. The heart that's talked about here in verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened. The heart to a Jewish person was the inner self, the thoughts, the ideas. It's the conscience, it's the personality. That's what the inner self is. And so having that part enlightened, that it's not just knowledge, but it's affecting the thoughts and it's affecting the inner self, so that you, when you think about something, you go, okay, that's not right. I shouldn't do that. I should do that. Paul prays for their hearts to be enlightened in three different ways. The first one is that they would experience hope. That they would experience the hope that God has called them towards. And it says in here that you would know what is the hope to which he has called you. Again, that's in verse 18. That know there is more than just know. It's the enlightenment he's talking about. It's making it part of a reality of your life. Not just here, but in all of your thoughts, that it's kind of coming in and flooding over. And we've been going to some games lately at the school. And it's interesting, the perspective. You can watch a game on TV. And you can have that experience of the game. But it's a whole other experience when you go into a stadium or into where they're having the event, whatever that looks like. It's a whole other experience to sit there and to hear the crowd, to hear the whistles. My daughter, when we first went in to see her volleyball, was like this. It's loud, she said. It's loud. It's a whole other experience. It's a different experience going outside and looking up at the sun than just seeing the pictures. It's a different experience being surrounded in a stadium by 70,000 of your closest friends, all screaming for an event. That's a different experience. Paul prays that they would experience hope. What is the hope that we've been called to? Experiencing the joy of who God is, experiencing the love of those around us, experiencing the hope of something more, something greater, that this life does not just end at death, but this life continues on for those who believe in Jesus Christ. We will have eternity with God. That is a hope. And again, I've talked about hope, that it's not some like, well, I hope you have a nice day. It's not like that. It's a surety that that will happen. The second thing, he prays that they would experience the riches of being his inheritance. This is one that I had to dig a little deeper on this week, because it was something I hadn't really thought about before. God is our inheritance. We talked about that some last year, last week, that Jesus Christ gives us an inheritance, and that inheritance is the hope we have of eternal life and having a relationship with Him and living with Him through eternity and worshiping Him through eternity. But we're also God's inheritance. We're also God's inheritance. We look forward. What are things you look forward to in a day? Maybe it's that first sip of coffee in the morning you look forward to. Maybe it's getting off of work and being able to go home. Maybe it's getting out of school. Whatever it is, things you look forward to in a day. Something I'm looking forward to is being with God, meeting God face to face. And guess what? He's looking forward to that too. He's looking forward to us being with Him. Now, He's with us now. I believe that God is with us now, but we can't see Him. And there will come a day where we will meet Him face to face, the Bible tells us. And we're looking forward to that day. And as His inheritance, He's looking forward to that day. You mean something to God. Why else would He send His Son to die on a cross to pay the penalty for my sin and your sin? Because you have worth. You have worth. You have value to God. You are His inheritance. You're going to experience hope. We're going to experience the riches of being His inheritance. And we're going to experience His power. Paul prayed that their hearts would be enlightened to experience His power. He uses a couple words here. What is the immeasurable greatness? One of those words is dunamai. It's like dynamite. The immeasurable greatness, the explosive power of God. We stare up at the sun, and do you understand that's God's power? God used His power to create, and that's just a fraction of what God can do. Paul begins to give an example here of God's power after verse 19. Where he talks about God's explosive, amazing, great. He's using these words to describe the immeasurable greatness of God's power. And what is the example he gives? That He worked in Christ, verse 20, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. What is God's greatest work? Yeah, He created everything. But He raised Christ from the dead, and He placed Him far above all other rulers and authorities. He gave Him that position over everything. And Paul says that is God's immeasurably great power. We have not been given a power to work magic. In Acts chapter 19 is when Paul was in Ephesus. And the Bible tells us that at that time when Paul was witnessing to these people in Ephesus, they began to bring their books, their magic books, their books of the occult, and they burned them together. Because of what God was doing, His power. It wasn't power to do magic, but it was power that was changing their lives. God has given us a power not even to escape difficulty in this life, but He's given us a power to live in an evil world. He's given us a power to overcome evil with good. As God's inheritance, God wants to empower us to be effective in the world, both to stand against evil Evil can be our sinful nature. Evil can be the devil's attacks. Evil can be the world and its desires being pressed upon us. But God gives us a power to stand against those things, to say no. We're also talking this morning about having freedom in Christ. We have freedom to say no. Before Christ was here, there was no freedom to say no because they just kept going through this cycle of sinfulness. The nation of Israel did, but now there's freedom to say no to sin. There's freedom to live like Christ. We each struggle with that on a day-to-day basis, though. Sometimes one of those things has a bigger influence in our lives, the sinful nature, the world, or the devil, and we give in. But we have the power to say no. What is the power? God's power is turning death into life. God's power is turning brokenness into wholeness. God's power is turning bad into good. God's power makes something pretty out of something ugly. God's power makes something holy out of something sinful. That's God's power. And Paul's praying for them to experience hope, to experience the riches of being his inheritance, to experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power in their lives. There are times in this world where things fall apart, things break. You have instances of this in your life, I'm sure, but my example today is my truck sitting out there. It's slowly kind of rusting away. I find pieces in my driveway of my truck every so often. Jack's shaking his head. It would cost me a lot of money to fix my truck so that it had no more rust. And then what would happen? It would rust again. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and Lazarus is not still alive. He died some point later, but he gave him life again. And the Bible tells us that even though we may face death, we will live eternally with God. He will give us a new body when he makes the new heavens and the new earth. In Revelation, it tells us that. He turns death into life. Turns brokenness into wholeness. It would cost me a whole lot less to just go buy a new truck. But again, what's going to happen? Slowly it's going to decay. Slowly it's going to rust. But that's not what happens with God. With God, he turns death into life. With God, he turns brokenness into wholeness. And it is made whole. It is made new. We are being made into a new creation, the Bible tells us. The old has gone. The new has come. He turns bad into good. He makes something pretty out of something ugly. And he makes something holy. He makes us holy even though we were sinful. Yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. He then demonstrates God's power and he says, "It is because Jesus is above all." Verse 20, he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in one to come. He is above anything. Jesus Christ is above anything and everything. There is nothing higher than the name of Jesus Christ. His name is above every name that is in this age and the one to come. It is Jesus. It's only through Jesus that we can know this power. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, God gave them power and authority. He told them to rule over creation. to have dominion over creation, but then they sinned. The fall happened and they lost some of that dominion and authority. But when Jesus came back, the Bible tells us that he's placed above all rulers, all authorities, any other name. And as heirs with him, we are given back some of that authority. We are given back that dominion to say no to Satan. That's where Adam and Eve lost that ability to say no to Satan. They said no, and then they lost it till Jesus came back. And now we have the ability to say no to Satan because of what Jesus did and paid the penalty for our sins. Finally, in verse 23, it says, he put all things under his feet, this is verse 22, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The fullness of him. We are a part of his body. He is the head. He is over the church. He is ruling the church, not just this church, but the universal church, all of those who believe in Jesus Christ. I was driving in today, and I was driving in about between 7:45 and 8 o'clock, and I passed a lot of Amish people. I lost count. Like, I don't know where they were all going, but they were all going in the same direction on bikes and in their carriages, and if they believe in Jesus Christ, they're the universal church as well. And Jesus is head over their church as well. Churches of Mead and Etna Green and Plymouth and Napanee and Warsaw and Bourbon and wherever, if they believe in Jesus Christ is the head over the universal church. And as his body, we have a responsibility to help fill up that body. We are the fullness of him. It's not that we're completing him, but we are bringing in others until the completion of the body, and then Jesus will return. That's what I believe God is waiting on. He's waiting for the body to be completed. He's waiting for all the members to become a part. And when that happens, his return will come very quickly. Now, when is that going to happen? The Bible tells us it will come like a thief in the night. We don't know. Said last week, I wish that, you know, there was a noise that happened or something that happened when you all of a sudden knew somebody became a Christian, but that's not the way it is. So we have to keep sharing and inviting others to come in to fill up the body. Stacy and I like to watch shows sometimes, and she'll get nervous if the main character gets into some peril. If the main character starts to face something and she's like, oh, he's not going to make it out of this. Oh, no, he's locked up, he's put in prison, he's not going to get out of this one. And I gently remind her, well, there's a next episode. There's another season and it'll be okay. Paul's saying here, I've seen Jesus Christ and he is at the end. He is all in all at the end. He is God. His name is above every other name, and he has all authority and power given to him. Paul's saying he is all in all. He fills up all. No one or nothing has removed him. He says, I've seen the end. I've seen the next part, and Jesus Christ is there, ruling and having authority. Having an experience of God versus knowing God. When Stacy and I first started talking, started our relationship, we wanted to be close to each other. We wanted to talk with one another. We would ask each other questions and find out answers. Sometimes we would text. Sometimes we would call each other. We wanted to know more about the other person. And the same thing is true of God. Like, if we want to experience Him, if we want to do more than just know about Him, if we want to know Him, if we want to experience His hope, experience His power, experience being a part of His inheritance, we need to do more than just know about Him. Well, how do we do that? Prayer is one really good way to experience God, because you're in a conversation with Him. You're talking with Him. Sometimes we do a lot of the talking. We don't take the time to listen. We don't take the time to be quiet because, well, there's something on my hip that I need to look at. To truly experience God, to experience what He has for your lives. We're called to know God, but that knowledge needs to go farther than just an ability to repeat facts about Him. We're called to experience Him. We need to experience Him through His Word. As I said, it's not just words to be read, but it's to be applied to our lives and lived out through us. We need to experience Him through prayer. We need to experience Him through His Spirit's leading in our lives. How have you experienced God's work in your life recently? How have you experienced God's work in your life recently? Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us to go beyond just knowledge of You. That You would help us to go beyond just faith and love, but we would truly seek to live life and live life to its fullest that You've called us to, experiencing Your hope, experiencing being a part of Your inheritance, experiencing Your power. God, I pray that You help us to do that as we go through our days this week, as we go into our job sites and talk with our coworkers, as we go throughout our days and have interactions with people at checkout counters or in conversations on the street. God, just help us to understand the power that we have because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Because He died on a cross and paid the penalty for my sin, but that's not where it stopped. That He was raised again by Your power, and that He was seated far above all other authority and rule, that His name might be above every other name. God, that is the power that we have access to resist evil in our lives, to say no to the world, to say no to our selfish nature, our sinful nature, and say no to the devil. God, You have given us power, and help us to live that out this week. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.